Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical Isle of Vashon in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, broadcasting live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other. It is on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live, unscripted and unrehearsed, on voiceofvashon.org. I'm sitting in the Gene Bosch studio in what is pro tem, the captain's chair, and it is raining right now on the magical isle, and right across from me is the signboard for the Vashon Presbyterian Church. The signboard says, "Matching socks are overrated." Now, I'm not quite sure what the message is that we are supposed to be taking from the Presbyterians about matching socks. However, I inspected mine, and they do indeed match in a proper and seamanlike fashion. My greetings today go out especially to all of those who are struggling with what should be the festive holiday season. For some people, this is a time when they mourn and grieve for people that are no longer with us. For some, it is a time where their family members are deployed. Those of us who have spent a good part of our lives being deployed know exactly what this is all about. And so I recognize that today and recognize the empty hole that many of you of Captain Joe's people have. Know that, as always, you are in the palm of my hand. The warmth of love, affection, respect, and regard that goes out from the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio to all of you is inclusive of every one of my people. If you are feeling down, I hope that this broadcast will fulfill my mission, which is to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and the world in which we live. Before I get into some of the regular features and some of the other things about which I have a commentary, I do indeed have a sad binnacle list. Not because anybody has crossed the bar, but because during the week I had a signal from a classmate of mine, an academy classmate of mine. And in this signal, he was reporting the challenges that he is having with his wife, Diane. Diane is no longer mentally connected to the rest of us in any significant or meaningful way. It has got to be incredibly saddening and soul-destructive to watch someone that you love and that with whom you have been for a long time become a shell. And when I comment on that, I comment on it knowing that I have had to deal with that only in a much less significant and challenging way. So in particular today, I recognize all of Captain Joe's people who are dealing with that particular situation. And even though I have not had to experience it personally in my own life yet, and I hope I won't, and I certainly don't intend to be one of those who becomes one of those shells, know that in particular, am I aware? I am sending out strengthening messages insofar as it is useful and helpful to you. And all of you remain, as always, in the palm of my hand. I was going to forego any further remarks about my own situation, but I have a little piece of good news and an interesting thing that happened yesterday. So yesterday was the day in which my relationship with Mr. Foley, which I reported here on before, was to be ended. And also a date with my Indian oncologist. So I'm sitting in the ferry queue waiting for the ferry of the frustrated to take me across Puget Sound to Pacific Medical Center, and the Andy phone goes ding, the dreaded ding. And so I looked and I saw that it was a signal from, it said healthcare. That means either it is coming from my vet practice or it means that it is coming from Pacific Medical Center. And sure enough, it was a signal telling me that the practitioner who was to end my relationship with Mr. Foley had herself called in sick, and they were canceling all of her appointments. So I called back, was put on hold, eventually talked to a person, and was able to reschedule for tomorrow. In the meantime, my peak, P-I-Q-U-E, my peak at this was total, which it should not have been, because I need to do better at cutting slack. So here is a person who is ill, and the effect on me is actually only a short discomfort extension, easily tolerated, and then I'm whining and mewling and puking about it. I herewith and hereby end the whining, mewling, and puking about that. In the meantime, I had my appointment with my Indian oncologist, who is trying to grow somewhat unsuccessfully a beard, and he and I noted that the markers with the medication that I'm taking are headed in the right direction. That's the good news. All will be well. In the meantime, in order to deal with these latest developments, I've chosen not to erect a Christmas tree this year, nor to deal with any decorations in Captain's Quarters. I confess that I miss that, but at the same time, those are just things that are something else with which I have to take care. And taking care of myself during this particular time seemed to me then and seems to me now to be the right decision. Furthermore, any time that I want to go and admire a Christmas tree, I need only go next door, where there are at least two of them. Stunningly beautiful. Michelle, my friend Michelle, she of the cat vending machines all over the magical isle of Vashon. So, herewith, and it is my wish and my hope, my desire and my command, that if you are in a situation, join me in cutting some slack to all of those people who take care of us. That's what I am resolving to do today. And I will enjoy your Christmas decorations. Send me a signal or send me something over the airwaves. Let me know how you are faring. I get wonderful messages during this time of year about how people are celebrating the holiday season, whichever holiday they celebrate. And, of course, we're coming up soon on the winter solstice, and the days start getting just a little bit longer. About Old Man Winter, I thank all of Captain Joe's people who have sent donations, who have sent the envelope that I asked you to do, the white envelope with the stamp on it and the slip of paper inside. I am not asking in particular for donations, but if you feel so inclined, you can slip a dollar bill or whatever you want. I'm very much aware of how many organizations are counting on us to make contributions this end of the year time before the end of the tax year. I have something like 25 or 30 messages on my email which talk about if I don't make a donation to that particular organization, it is about ready to plummet into the depths. Somehow I doubt that. But I do have several that are particularly important and which I cherish particularly, and to which I am both able and I choose to make end-of-year donations to. Next week, I've invited the ever-lovely Kate, the executive director for The Voice, to come on the program with me. Next week will be my traditional Christmas broadcast. It's Christmas Eve. It will be my Christmas broadcast in which I observe the tradition which has been with me from the captain's chair for a number of years now of telling the story about how I acquired a Christmas tree for the masthead for my much-loved North Wind in Wellington, New Zealand. And if Kate is available, she will be sitting across from me and we will have one of the sessions that we enjoy so much, and I think that most of you do as well. We just like each other a lot. We like to work together. We do the Strawberry Festival car parade together. And I think just the world of her and the work that she does to keep The Voice going. So I will be making a donation on behalf of all of us when she's here, because that's our tradition as well. So thank all of you who have done that. And if you are not yet have sent in your envelope, remember that no donation is needed or requested or required. Just a slip of paper with your name and where you're calling from or where you're sending from. Because I really want an idea and a feel for where all of Captain Joe's people are. We've had a wonderful year together, all of us, all of Captain Joe's people. We've had a wonderful year together. There's no threat to my occupying the captain's chair every week. And that threat from my little health, my little binicleist membership, we're dealing with that. We're going to conquer it. And there's no threat to my broadcast. There's no threat to anything. We are all of us together. I do want to and do hereby caution everybody to be on the lookout for some very cleverly crafted fake messages. I have several of them sitting in my inbox this very minute. One of them purports to be from Federal Express. Another one purports to be from, I believe it is Amazon, and they all of them are saying that I need to check in order to get a delivery. Deliveries work just fine coming to the magical aisle, and I do not need to check those boxes. So keep lookouts as far forward in the eyes of the ship as is practicable. That's what the rules of the road say. That's what your captain says. Be on the lookout for these. Do not dive into that particular pit. And enjoy everything that comes to you without your need for telling Federal Express signature required. Right now it's raining here, and there is a threat for some high winds. I will lose power in captain's quarters. But my wood stove is humming along. My house is warm. Sailor and Blossom are snugged down. We have set the heavy weather bill. And I am now going to fulfill something that is a particular privilege for me. And that is that I got a message from Dr. Sam Green. And in that message was, as an attachment, one of his poems. Now, Dr. Green was the first poet laureate for the state of Washington. And he is a published poet. I have several of his books. And he was also a quartermaster in a Coast Guard buoy tender during the Vietnam War. And that buoy tender, was responsible for the aids that all of us used off of the coast of Vietnam. And that was a particularly dangerous operation because the potential for his being attacked was pretty high. So he has sent me a poem. And I sent him an answer back, and I said, I want to read it, and I'm going to read it on my broadcast. It's a little bit long, if you need to make a head call before you hear it. But this one is for, in particular, all of the sailors out there. And it talks about the initiation that every new sailor, or almost every new sailor, undergoes when he first reports to his first ship. Those of you who are not sailors, those of you who are not guardians, those of you who have not gone to sea, either with me or with some other captain, you may learn something from this, and so here it goes. The title of it is The Old Man Talks About Fool's Errands. My first ship out of boot camp, I tried 3 times to carry a bucket of steam from the engine room to the bridge, before Snipe felt sorry for me and wouldn't open the valve again. Said they were out. I asked at least 4 stewards where to find fertilizer for the Compass Rose, and emptied a storage bin looking for a can of relative bearing grease. A seaman wanted 6 fathoms of waterline at the Move Your Ass Double Kid. I checked an entire locker of cordage and careful coils of rope before giving up. 3 straight-faced seamen swore the foghorn tuning pipe was in the same hold with the cans of green and red oil for port and starboard running lights. Right next to the barrels of prop wash, an Academy ensign ordered me to the ship's office to get the key to the sea chest. The storekeeper said they didn't have it, but wanted to know if I'd filled in my government form ID-10-T yet. He wrote the number down, and I promised to come back and see the yeoman when I finished standing the mail buoy watch. I reported to damage control looking for squeegee files. The chief said they were all checked out, but said my work crew could probably wet the blades on my forehead since he'd bet I was too damn dumb to tell a right-handed crescent wrench from a left. Which was true. They looked the same to me. They aren't, really. Ha. Huh. Against all odds, I became squared away, starched and ironed my chambray shirts, bleached the sweat rings from my white hats, put military corners on my rack, wore clean skivvies, tees, and socks, shined even my working boondocks and the brass buckle on my belt. My salute would put a Marine to shame. When I got sick with a new strain of flu, I stayed in sick bay quarantine for a week, because that's what you do for your shipmates. There's that word, shipmate. He or she who cares more for his mates and his ship than himself. That's a parenthetical insertion. Picking up Dr. Green's poem again. The crew comes first. the ones who taught me every inch of the ship, how to tell a blowhard from the guy who quietly double-checks his knots. You want to know when someone's lying? Ask me. I'm a hard sell. So Sam and Sally, his lovely wife, his good lady wife, are leaving their island. They live on an island in Puget Sound, which is not even served by the ferries, and you can only get to it either by boat or by air. I wish for them a wonderful holiday season and safe journeys and a safe return to their island at the end of the holiday season. I like that poem. I've read several of Sam's other poems. They talk about shipmates. They talk about how a crew member has to depend on his mates for sometimes survival. Sometimes survival. So the motor vessel Tim S. Duell, under the Canadian flag, she has been aground in the St. Lawrence Seaway. St. Lawrence Seaway is a special piece of water to your captain because it is the entrance for saltwater vessels, salties, and for blue water captains like me to get into the Great Lakes. When I took my Northwind up into the Great Lakes, I was the last upbound ship before they closed the entire system. And as I went through each one of the locks, the lockmaster said, "Captain, we'll see you in the springtime." And little did I know that the springtime wasn't going to come until May. So I broke an ice in the St. Lawrence Seaway, and I know exactly where the motor vessel Tim S. Duell, under the Canadian flag, went aground. She was there for 3 weeks and finally was refloated, I believe, yesterday. And she was refloated because they put barges alongside her and they offloaded much of the grain, which was her cargo. What I don't understand is how she got off of the channel. The St. Lawrence Seaway is beautifully maintained with wonderful aids to navigation. Every one of the reaches is ranged with a long range. It takes some doing. Some lack of attention, either that or a steering failure, and that could be the case, to get off of that range and aground. Tim S. Duell went really hard aground, and it took 3 weeks and a lot of figuring before they finally got her off. She was not in the fairway. She was off to the side, so there was no lack of traffic. It was able to keep going past her. But I will be looking forward to whatever report comes to let me know how it was that she got off of that ranged reach. I love that word, reach. A particular seaman-like expression for a long run. And so now she is afloat. She has been taken to a Canadian yard for inspection to make sure that she's not done, has not harmed herself. And we'll see exactly what is going on with her when the report on her comes out. On the other hand, the update on the Mananaui, His Majesty's New Zealand ship, Mananaui, is that the New Zealand government and the New Zealand forces are now moving and positioning a barge close to her for taking any fuel out of her. This morning, I looked at a photograph of her tragically and sadly still lying on her side underwater, completely covered. And now there's a little bit of a sheen coming out of one side, which tells me that she's leaking, slowly leaking and seeping. Some kind of petroleum product. The quote from one of the press releases is that she ran aground under, quote, challenging conditions with winds up to 25 knots. As a person who has taken his own commands through at least one typhoon, I can tell you that 25 knots is a mere bagatelle. So I'm not too much in conjunction with that one. The other quote is this. Captain Yvonne Gray is credited with saving 75 lives for her quick decision to abandon ship. I await the report on this one as well. Did Captain Gray abandon ship too soon? Could they have saved her? She caught on fire. She filled up. She rolled over. She's lying on her side. Certainly, we want all hands to be saved. But did she leave her command too soon? Could they have exercised all of the damage control skills that should have been learned by that crew? We await the news on that particular thing. And I will report it here. The magazine is not really a magazine this week. It is the Beachcomber, which is our newspaper, island newspaper. And I picked it up and started reading it yesterday, and there was in it a lovely tribute to the Keepers of Point Robinson, which is the volunteer group that I've headed up for, I guess, maybe off, must be 20 years off and on. About the ceremony that we held and the reflying of the flag out at Point Robinson. So I take this opportunity to thank the Vashon Park District and for all of Captain Joe's people who have worked with this, that once again, the flag flies free out at Point Robinson. The floodlight comes on at night at the same time that the main light comes on. The characteristic for Point Robinson is a quick flash two. It is white. Every 12 seconds, every reliability metric, every reliable standard. Every time I go out there, I time it, and it is exactly 12 seconds. And every time I go out there, I look up and I see that big, and I believe it's a number four, but it's a big parade flag flying free. It is symbol. The symbolism of that, emblematic of that, no matter what our political challenges are at any given time, that beautiful flag is out there at Point Robinson. Once again, we've come to the end of our time together. Next week will be my Christmas broadcast. I hope Kate will be able to be with me. I hope all of you will be able to be with me. And as always, each one of you individually and all of you collectively, my signals from the captain's chair go to each one of you individually and to all of Captain Joe's people collectively. Know that you all are in the palm of my hand. You all are so precious to me. I thank you for all of the regard and love and affection and respect that come to me every single day. This is, as always, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. This is, as always, your Captain Joe, and I am on station and watching properly.